We're doing the Chafetz Chaim. We're still in the introduction, page Yud Gimel, the third line. Vezel Shon Azor, Hakadosh Parshat Pekudei. He's going to quote the Holy Zohar and Parshas Pekudei. And I'm going to translate loosely. I'm not so good at translating. I don't know Zohar, so I'm going to do the best I can. It says that when you have the Uvehai Rucha Bisha, and this bad spirit, that meaning the idea is the Lashon Hara that a person says, Talayin Kamigaldin Nachonin, you have all these gardenin, I'm not sure exactly what that is. Bisha is bad. So these bad angels are in charge of grabbing any time a person says something bad, something evil, some lashon hara, or mila tinufa, anytime a person says something vulgar. And then a person tries to say holy things. He tries to say Torah. He tries to say prayer. Woe to their lives. Woe to them in this world and the world to come. Because these defiled spirits, they hold on to that word. When a person says something that's dirty, he says something that's lashon hara. He says something, some slander, something negative about someone else. And then when a person, Barnash is the son of a human, when he, apik, when he gives out, levatar, afterwards, milin kadisha, holy words, akdimini len ruche mesava, these defiled spirits come forth, mile yahu mesava, and they take, so to speak, the dirty words he said earlier, umesave la umila kadisha, and then they filth up the holy word he's going to say. And then a person doesn't have merits. And it's as though the strength of holiness is weakened in this world at Kan Nishono, till here is the Zohar. So the Zohar says, when we defile our mouths, when we speak in a defiled way, or we say things that are negative, we're not only being destructive in what we're saying, that destruction stays lingering in the world, and it affects the holy things we try to say later. Halonire balin mizohar kadosh, what we see clearly in the holy Zohar, shekol divrei Torah utfilah shelanu hem omdim ba'avir ha-shamayim, that our words of Torah and prayer, so to speak, get caught in the air, ve'inam olim lemala, and they cannot ascend. Umayin tavo zoten leviyat ha-mashiach v'chaytzev hazeh, so how will we attain the help we need for Mashiach to come, etc., if our prayers can't move up, so to speak, they're being weighed down by the Lashon Hara we save. Hashir namik b'zeh inyan nimtza od yoter. And when we delve into this, we'll see further, shemilvad shuavon plili ba'atzmo v'chanal, that not only is Lashon Hara a heinous crime in its own right, it also is destructive in all the different worlds, and it reduces the light of the world. Because people have such a habit that people repeatedly transgress this transgression of saying Lashon Hara, hundreds and thousands of times in their lives. How many times does a person say Lashon Hara a day? It's a tough question, and when a person says it in front of 5 or 10 people, how many times does he transgress? Because even if you take a small transgression, but you repeat it again and again and again, it becomes this huge, thick rope. You ever see those ropes they tie ships by? Yeah? You look at it, and you see this big rope, and you see that it's made up of a huge two ropes twined together. And you see those ropes are made up of, and that's right, they all started with this little thread and another little thread, and then it's doubled over again and again and again until you get, by the 100th one, you get this huge rope. So that's the description of our transgressions. K'moshe tzavach Yeshayahu, that's what the prophet Isaiah yells, Hoy moshchei avon b'chavnei hashav v'chavot agalach hata'a. Woe to those who pull along sin with these simple little threads, and then they don't realize that those threads double over until they become these thick ropes that pull a wagon. Look at the little threads of silk. You double them over a few hundred times, you get this thick rope. Chafetz Chaim says, but what's worse is that Lashon Hara is actually a very, very weighty sin. And so when a person does it once, he's already done something terrible. And the truth is that many people transgress Lashon Hara, bechama alafim pamim imechayim, thousands of times in their lives. And people don't even think that they have to be careful about this transgression. So undoubtedly, the destructiveness of this is beyond comprehension, beyond any quantification. So this is very scary. I can tell you one of the things I tried doing. I was not successful. I hope I will still succeed. But I tried to make it that in our house we learn Shmirat HaLashon, if not once a day, once a week. But we haven't been able to stick to it. There were years we stuck to it, and now it's fallen in the cracks. We've got to try to get back to it. If you learn about it, that's the beauty of learning this. The mere fact that you keep dealing with it makes a person more aware. You learn a little bit today, a little bit tomorrow, so you're dealing with it. So then it forces a person to think about his speech before he speaks. So that's why it's so good when a person has a Seder every day, he learns even 5 minutes of Shmirat HaLashon. Because like the Chafetz Chaim wrote, the issue is, this is something we run into hundreds of times a day. And so many conversations that we have. We're saying something which could be innocent, but it could not be innocent. And we have to think it over. We impact probably most. Our greatest impact on the world is probably in our speech. Most people have the greatest impact on the world with what they say. There are two things that have great impact that people tend to overlook in the world. One is our speech, and the other is our family. People take both for granted. If people would think the most important thing in my life is my family, then they would treat their family differently. If people would think the greatest impact I have on the world is what I say, then people would think about what they say differently. If we take both for granted, then it just follows suit. Then if I've had a tough day at work, of course everyone has to put up with my temper or my tiredness, because I take them for granted. And if I don't think about what I'm saying, so then I talk, and like Chafetz Chaim said, thousands of times in one's lifetime, one runs into this challenge. Chafetz Chaim says, I really want to understand, why did this transgression become so downtrodden? Why is it that people think it's a freebie? It's not a big deal if I talk that way. So the Chafetz Chaim says, I actually analyzed this. There are a few reasons why people think that Lashon Hara isn't so serious. And the reasons diverge. The masses have one reason that they don't recognize the gravity of this transgression, and those who learn have another reason. The masses, people don't realize that if they're telling the truth, it could still be prohibited. They say, you know, so-and-so cheated, that's how he became a doctor. So you say, or so-and-so cheated, that's how he passed his SATs, that's how he passed high school. And you say, that's Lashon Hara. And they say, but it's the truth. Wait a second, that doesn't change it. So the masses think that if it's the truth, I'm allowed to say it. Who said? So that's number one. The main mistake that people make with regards to Lashon Hara is that they think if they're telling the truth, they're allowed to say it over. That's not so. Number two, Vale HaTorah, and those who are learned, even the people who understand that it's prohibited to say Lashon Hara about truth, so people have different excuses. Sometimes they think, he's such a sinner, of course people have to know he's a guy like that. And sometimes a person thinks, another time a person thinks, he's a guy who's destructive, he's always making fights, so it's permissible to talk about him. That's what people tell themselves. Sometimes a person says, everyone knows this, of course I could tell it over. Sometimes a person thinks, if he were standing here, I'd say it, I wouldn't be embarrassed. So obviously it's something I'm allowed to say. So when a person's learned, he figures out all kinds of convoluted reasons why maybe it should be okay to say what I'm saying. Sometimes he tells himself, this isn't Lashon Hara. What's the big deal if I just say that? People often will say about someone, he's not so smart. That's Lashon Hara? Is it a sin to be not so smart? We give ourselves excuses. We'll see later on that if the person wouldn't want that said about him, that's also Lashon Hara. So as we learn the details, we'll see. Klalo shel davar, the general rule is, Hayetzer ha pulato achat mishtehim. So the Yetzer Hara works in one of two venues. Either Shemfateu Shendavar Zenechnas Bichlal Lashon Hara. Either the Yetzer Hara convinces us this isn't Lashon Hara, or Shalish Kazelo Tzivtat Rabbi Yisur Lashon Hara. Or sometimes the Yetzer Hara tells us about a person like that, there's no commandment not to say Lashon Hara. So this is a huge challenge. This is a huge challenge. And we have to be aware of it as we've been learning. So what did we learn today? We learned the Zohar, that Lashon Hara is destructive even for the holy things we do. In some spiritual way, it limits their impact. And we saw that Lashon Hara is not only a terrible transgression in its own right, it's also a very difficult transgression because people do it so often. And then the Chafetz Chaim said, why do people do it so often? Either because they convince themselves that when I'm telling the truth, there's no problem, and that's one mistake. Or because people figure out reasons why they think I'm allowed to tell it about him, or I'm allowed to tell it because it's well known, or I would say it in front of him, this isn't something so embarrassing. So we have different reasons why we convince ourselves that it's okay, and those reasons are really not legitimate. So we have to reawaken ourselves to thinking about this transgression, to be careful not to say Lashon Hara.